What's up, family? I want to welcome you to another episode of the Hakimia Show.
Yes.
We're going to have a good time today. Today we're going to be talking about Denzel Washington and his faith. And today I have in the studio with me Pastor Olden Reese. How are you doing, Pastor?
I'm good. Having a good time and just enjoying. Had a good weekend.
Okay.
Great weekend. Got a chance to do some things and preached a little bit. And
nice.
God just really moved. And thank God for his mercy and his tenderness.
Amen. So the Spirit was moving in your church service.
Oh, yes. We had an awesome time on Sunday, and my sermon was Hang On.
Okay.
This time.
Hang On. Well, can you open us up in prayer?
Yes. Father, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we give you praise and honor and glory.
Yes, Lord.
God, we just tell you thank you today, God. God, we tell you thank you for this broadcast today. We tell you thank you, God, for what you're about to do. That God, that when we come on this cast, that God, that someone be delivered, someone be set free, someone be encouraged, someone hear us and be doers of your word. God, I thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and I ask you to touch Pastor Jack and his family and touch my family, Lord. Touch every pastor in the name of Jesus and every leader and every person today, God. Just touch their hearts today, that God, that they, when they leave off of here today, that God, they have something inside of them that they can take with them.
Yes, Lord.
And that it lasts forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I know you said that Denzel's an inspiration to you.
Yeah.
What is it about his life that really inspires
him? First, it was his acting.
Okay.
I've been watching Denzel since I was young, when he first started acting, and you can tell the difference in him than a lot of the other actors, and the way he carries himself. And I was watching something on YouTube on him one time, and he said that he have nice things. Yes, he has a nice house and all those things. But he said that's one thing that didn't matter to him. But what mattered to him was his faith and the point that someone spoke over his life. You know, so that hit home big to me. And ever since then, I just had a difference of different actors. You know, there's a lot of good actors out there, but it's just something special about him and his praise and his worship. And you notice, you don't never see Denzel in the news and, you know, in all kind of trouble and all kind of stuff and drinking and carrying on. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to honor those that need to be honored. And he's not out there doing those things. He's not out there always in the news, you know, but here's a man that won Oscars and stuff like that and was nominated for Globes and different things like that. So, you know, I just think he's just my favorite actor altogether.
Yeah. Just a man of integrity.
Yeah.
A man who has pretty much, you know, remained faithful. And I know that he has been through some struggles in his marriage and in his personal life, and he talks about that. Just real transparent. And man, in these days where a lot of actors and actresses and singers will profess faith in Christ and then suddenly just kind of drift off, you know, it's refreshing to have someone like that, to see someone that has stayed the path, you know.
Right.
I think he's a member of West Angeles Church under Bishop Blake.
Yeah.
And so that's, and the fact that he's been just a faithful member of a church family,
mm-hmm.
Speaks a lot. And, and he's one of the few people I've heard talk about holiness,
mm-hmm.
and really emphasize that point that God has called us to be holy.
Yes.
And I mean, there's just that, you know, I've heard him talk like that.
Me too.
And I think a lot of it has to do with his Pentecostal upbringing, mm-hmm. where there was a high emphasis on serving God and using your gifts and being set apart. Mm-hmm. Right? The word holy doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means you're set apart and you're saying, God, use me.
Yes.
And we need people in this generation to allow God to use them.
Right.
You know?
I just want to say this, that with a lot of these actors now, a lot of things that's going on in that career of suicide and different things are carrying on, it is very refreshing to see somebody that is holding up the mantle and is professing Christ and is saying, hey, I believe in God no matter what nobody may look at me and say or criticize me of, I still believe in God. I remember, you know, one of the guys who was a football player, Tebow,
mm-hmm.
you know, they made a big deal about him being a Christian. And, you know, but I thank God with Denzel, he didn't have to, you know, thank God he didn't have to go through all of those different things because, oh, just because I'm an actor or I'm an athlete don't mean I can't be saved.
And why do you think, what was the difference there? What is it about Denzel that no one really picks on his faith? And then, or Tim Tebow, they kind of did.
I think with Tebow was a little bit more outspoken about it.
Yeah.
Radical more, I'll say that point about it. And Denzel is a more quiet, smooth talk about it, you know. And I think just because with an actor and a football players are different in mm-hmm. a way. Their voice, a lot of them are boisterous, you know. If you look at Tebow, he was very voiceful about his Christian life.
Okay.
And a lot of people reacted to that, and some reacted good, and some reacted in, you know, in a bad way. Like, that's like it was a disease or something was wrong with him being, you know, saved.
Mm.
And that's the problem with the world today.
Yeah.
Is that as a man, it's like it's something wrong with being saved or Christian or having a belief in God in Jesus.
But that's been the problem since day one.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately, Jesus said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you.
Right. Right.
And Christians who are outspoken, and that's not even radical. That's real Christianity.
Yeah.
Right. Because real Christianity, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
That's right.
And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So real Christianity is a witnessing faith.
Right.
The power of the Holy Spirit creates an urgency and a boldness and a unction to be a witness. And one of the things that blows me away is how many Christians are not a witness for the gospel, for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, they're witness in church,
mm-hmm.
you know, on Sundays at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
But that's about it. They're not a witness on social media. They're not a witness with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a witness anywhere. And it makes you really wonder if they have faith. And I got this video here by Denzel, and you know, it just really illustrates how his faith must be growing because his witness is growing.
Yes.
You know, and he says something interesting, and I'm going to let the viewers listen to this. Sorry about that, family. Looks like something's going on here. Let me go ahead and bring it up on another page. I thought the audio was working here. Here we go. I'm going to bring it up here on this.
Well, you have to use your gifts, you know. Faith without works is nothing. So not everybody has to be an activist.
Mm-hmm.
A woman prophesied years and years ago that I would travel the world and preach to millions of people. And I remember, you know, and I have traveled the world, and I don't know if I'm a preacher, but through my work, I've spoken. And now I try to speak more in public. But I asked my pastor, I said, well, does that mean I'm supposed to be a preacher? He says, well, no, you already have a pulpit. So he didn't say stay in your lane, but you know. Mm-hmm. So try to be an agent for good. You know, for that's what I'm all about now. I'm in the service business.
Denzel's new film is titled...
All right, so that was Denzel. Again, just talking about faith. Sorry about that, people, for the technical difficulty. But, yeah, so that's Denzel. And what were some interesting things about that interview that really struck you?
Some interesting things that really struck me with Denzel is how he really believes what he's saying. And that's one of the big things. He said, you know, you have to believe in what your faith really is.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe in the gifts that God has given you to work with, then it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Without those gifts, you know. So, you know, the Bible said gifts come without repentance.
Mm.
So when you have gifts inside of you, a lot of people tend to veer away and be afraid to use their gifts.
Yeah.
So I think all Denzel is saying, use what you have.
Yeah.
Don't try to use what somebody else have, because what somebody else have may not be your gift.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that really struck me was the fact that Denzel's talking about faith without works is dead,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's from James mm-hmm. chapter, I believe, 2.
2, yeah.
James talks about the fact that if we have faith, we'll have works.
Mm-hmm.
And those works encompass being a witness
mm-hmm.
for Jesus Christ,
right.
Not being ashamed of the gospel. Not to say we're always going to be perfect,
right.
Because we do walk in the flesh. We do right. walk by the sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
Christians struggle, but we do have answers, and we have a real power and a real hope. And, you know, I was just recently, I'm reading this book by a friend of mine, and it really struck me. This friend has really gotten more and more away from orthodox biblical Christianity, you know, and he really celebrates this issue of like just living a life of mystery,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you don't have any answers, you don't really quite know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
And you don't need to have the answers for mm-hmm. a world that's dying and skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that struck me is how antithetical that is to the New Testament,
right.
the life of Jesus and the book of Acts. Like they didn't have all the answers, meaning they didn't understand every mystery of life, but they had the answer.
The answer.
And that's Jesus Christ.
That's it.
God incarnate.
That's right.
God in the flesh. God who died on the cross for our sins, for all of our sins. Mm-hmm. Not just some of our sins, all but our past, present, and future sins. Where we are totally justified. And John, the apostle, wrote in 1 John, he says, I write these things so that you may know whom you've believed
mm-hmm.
and that you are saved.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a witness, you have the inner witness of the Holy Spirit
right.
that testifies that you are saved. So there's things that we can know, and there's things we should know. And there are some answers we really do have as Christians, and that's the power of God. That's mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit. That's the yes. Word of God, the armor of God, the weapon of prayer. Yes. I mean, I can go on and on, mm-hmm. Pastor. You know, the shield mm-hmm. of faith,
the
sword
faith.
Of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're able to resist Satan, and he will flee, the Bible says.
Yes.
We're able to even resist sickness.
Yeah.
We're to pray. We're to pray fervently. James says, if anyone is sick, let him call the elders of the church. To anoint him with oil. And mm-hmm. if he has sinned, let him confess his sin. The prayer of a righteous man and woman of God availeth much. You know, Elijah was a man just like us. And he prayed that the heavens would not give rain. And James says that to Christians. That Christians have real answers,
mm-hmm.
real love, and real power. Okay? Again, we don't have everything.
No.
We still struggle.
Yes.
But in the midst of the struggle, we got hope. Yeah. We have a rock. That's unchangeable, and does not you know, Jesus said, anyone who hears my words, Matthew 7, and builds his house on this rock, when the winds and waves of life come, they're going to stand. So I totally disagreed with this kind of this sense of it's okay to be lost. It's okay to not know anything and not to be sure about anything. Mm-hmm. And how the Word of God applies to family, right. How the Word of God speaks into religion, speaks into politics.
I want to say this to what you just said, because to add on, having that type of attitude, really, I don't think a person wants to be lost. Mm. And I think, the Bible says study to show yourself approval. The Bible wants you, God wants us to study His Word. He wants us to know the Word, because why? They're going to come tests. They're going to come times. Like you say, when the waves and problems come, when that storm come, you can be able to withstand the storm. And I gave a scenario on Sunday about hanging on. And I gave the scenario of, you ever seen a mountain, a guy climbing a mountain, and he has no rope, all he has is an anchor, and he's climbing the mountain trying to reach the top. But he's dangling, there's time where he's dangling and holding on for dear life, And you wonder, I look at it as life, because somewhere along the line, we're still having faith to pull ourselves up in certain situations, but there's times where we are dangling. We are, where we need that push from God. We need to have faith and belief in His Word. And if we have no faith and belief in His Word, how is it that God going to pull us up to where He wants us to be at? If we can't get to the first level, how are we going to move on to where God, the destiny that He has? And I hear a lot of pastors talk about that all the time, about reaching your destiny and reaching where God wants you to go and going higher and higher in the Lord. Well, if you can't get past the first level, how are you going to get to higher and higher in God?
Yeah.
Without reaching that first level.
And that first level starts with just being born again.
Yes.
Jesus said, if you're born again, it's like the wind, you don't understand how it happened, but it's the work of God, right. And when it happens, and there's a new transformation, there's new desires. I want to draw your attention to Hebrews 11 here,
okay,
on the screen, and today we're going to talk a little bit about Hebrews 11,
okay,
as we talk about Denzel's faith, and we talk about our faith, and we talk about the faith of our forefathers, right. The book of Hebrews really gets into this topic of faith. And I'll start in verse 1. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. What we do not see. And he says, this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.
Wow.
By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. He just had more, he had greater faith.
Yeah.
So it caused him to sacrifice greater. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. Wow. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, verse 5, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away.
Wow.
For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him, and this is how he describes faith, must believe that he exists. Amen. Which I do right now, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, okay, that true biblical faith, okay, true biblical faith, trusts God.
That's it.
And it believes that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Right.
Any thoughts on that passage?
There's a whole bunch of thoughts, but I just want to mention this one thing. You said trust God. Because that's that little statement there. A lot of people don't trust God. Hmm. They'll trust God in certain things, but when it comes to something big, dramatic, something that, you know, it sometimes could be a life or death. It could be you finna get kicked out your home. It could be that bill is due, and they say, hey, if you don't pay it tomorrow, this is what's gonna happen. You know, and we somewhere along the line, sometimes we lose faith. We start thinking, oh, what can I do? Who can I call? What buddy can I call? What friend? What family member can let me hold something, instead of saying, wait a minute, let me go to God first. And that's all God is saying. Before you go to your friend, before you call your pastor, before you call your sister, your brother, your auntie, your uncle, come to me first. Come to me. You'll see exactly what I can do and what I want to do for you. But like in the word it said, you know, you must believe that he exists.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes we forget that God still exists. He's still sitting on the throne.
Mm.
And we don't act like he exists sometimes.
Mm.
Sometimes we lose our minds and we go running around trying to fix it ourselves. And I remember my old bishop told me one time, said, you can't fix something that God has already can fix it for you.
Amen.
So when you go and I trying to fix stuff, like if I try to fix this microphone, I can't fix it like how God can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't fix my life how I want it to be if God is not in it.
Mm.
So how can I do anything myself if I don't put God with it? I'm gonna mess it up.
Well, look what it says here. The writer of Hebrews says, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes, without faith.
Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So, mm-hmm. So the writer is basically saying, look, if you're expecting things from God, as far as, you know, just miracles and the promises of God to be fulfilled, we have to believe. We yes. have to trust it, you know. So there's two components to that, right? We believe he exists,
mm-hmm.
but we also believe he's going to reward me,
right,
as I seek him.
As I seek him.
You know, and I don't know what you're going through right now if you're watching this broadcast or listening to this podcast, mm-hmm. but you need to know that God wants you to seek him, and yes. God is going to take care of you,
yes.
because he loves you. You say, well, Jack, you know, how do I know God loves me? Simple. Look to the cross. God died on the cross for your sins.
For your sins.
He died to have a relationship with you.
Yes.
And if he wants to have a if God wants to have a relationship with you that much, trust me, he's going to take care of your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not your greeds, but your needs.
Your needs.
And you need to know that. You know, let me read a little bit more from this Hebrews 11 passage, okay?
Okay?
And it says, by faith, look at this. By faith, and he's referring to Noah,
mm-hmm.
okay? Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. Verse 7, by faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith.
Mm.
By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Notice that. He obeyed. Faith without works. That's what Denzel
That's
was saying.
It. Faith without works.
Works is dead. Even though he did not know where he was going.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always have to know the destination. You don't always have to see it pictured. Or even, you know, sometimes we put too much emphasis, Pastor Reese, on vision.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, you don't necessarily have to have the vision, right? Mm-hmm. Like, God doesn't give vision all the time.
Not all the time.
That scripture in Proverbs where it says, without vision, my people perish,
mm-hmm.
what he's talking about is the law. If you read that in context, and I'll try to bring it up here, but he's talking about without a vision... without a vision, man will perish. I think that's Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, where there's no vision, the people perish.
Mm-hmm.
But he that keepeth the law. Let me bring this up here. Let me bring this up here so the people can understand, because this is one of the most misinterpreted. And I've even misused it. Mm-hmm. But look. Because again, there's sometimes, you know, I believe in vision, but there is a sense that God can tell you to do things in which he doesn't give you the vision, meaning you don't see the outcome.
Right.
You don't see it.
Right.
Okay? He may give you a promise, but you don't see it. You don't fully understand. I don't think Abraham or Paul or any of our forefathers really understood what God was going to do.
Right.
And that's the vision, right? That's what's to come.
Right.
It's, in fact, it says in Ephesians, to him who's able to do far, exceedingly, more than we can think or imagine according to his power that works within us.
Wow.
So how do you get a vision for that which God's going to do far more exceedingly and abundantly than you can think or imagine?
You don't have a vision. It's mainly, you know, you believing. Sometimes you won't be able to see it all, but if God gave you this to do, and if you follow him, yeah, God will exceed what you was expecting. Because, you know, a lot of time our mindset is, okay, God's going to do this particular thing for me. That's what he's going to do. But then when God turns it around and blesses you, blesses you exceedingly past what you wanted.
Yeah.
See, because a lot of times, you know, I've seen God do it even in my own life where, you know, I just wanted to be, when I came to ministry, I just wanted to sit in the back.
Yeah.
I just wanted to praise God and come to church and that's it. But when I did want to God to move me, I didn't think the way he did it. He did exceedingly further and quicker than what I was looking at. So that's why I said sometimes we don't know the mindset of God. You know, the Bible says his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. So what God has for you, you may think at this little thing, but God's saying, I'm going to show you something even bigger. I'm going to do something to blow your mind to show you what I'm capable of.
Amen. In fact, let me go back to this passage because it's really important. It's really important that we understand this because it really does mess us up. Okay, I'm going to go back to this. Proverbs 29, he says, where there's no vision, the people perish.
Right?
Mm-hmm. He's not talking about everyone has to have a vision or they're going to perish, meaning they got to know what God's going to do with their ministry, what God's going to do with their life.
Right.
What he's talking about is the law.
The law.
Right. Look what he says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says where there's no vision, what he's saying is where there's no insight into God's commandments.
Okay.
Because because people perish when they stop being faithful to that which God has already spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the law. That's the word.
Yes.
That's his precepts. So it's not necessarily that you need to have a vision, meaning a crystal clear vision of what God's going to do personally in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to know what God has already told you he wants you to do in your life. Right now.
Yeah, through the promise.
Through the promise of the word.
Mm-hmm.
So the Proverbs 29 is talking about, look, people perish because there's no vision, and it's really about knowing God's word and being open to the Rhema word, right? That's the word that comes to you in a personal way.
Yeah.
It's a prophetic word, and also to the word of the Holy Spirit, which Paul says in Philippians, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So God is speaking his word. He's prompting his word. He's creating his word, which is his desires in us. Right? Galatians 5 says, do not walk. He says, walk by the Spirit so you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Mm-hmm. For the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh.
Right.
So when we have the Holy Spirit and we have the word in us.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is producing new desires.
Yes.
And that desire is to be faithful to the Word, to be faithful to God's plan for your life. And it's about obedience in the moment and not always having to have a crystal clear picture or vision of what is to come or the rewards to come. And so that's, I mean, that's really, and when you listen to Denzel's testimony and how that woman prophesied over him, he didn't fully understand what that looked like and how he was going to get there. But he says he just took steps of faith.
Mm-hmm.
He started acting. You know, he was struggling in college, you know, and he just, and he discovered God's gifting and purpose for his life, and he took it one step at a time.
That's it.
And that's like you said earlier, you just got to take that first step on the ladder.
That's right.
You just got to do what God is saying now and stop worrying about all the details of the future, which is, again, I need to get the vision.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see the end of the movie before I even start watching the first part of the movie.
Yeah.
I want to know the conclusion before I even start living out the first intro.
When I look at my expectations in God, my expectations that God, I know that God has for my life and the purpose of my life is way beyond what I'm even thinking.
Mm.
You know, so a lot of times, you know, I get complacent and I say, you know, okay, Lord, whatever you're going to do for me, I know you're going to do it for my better good. But God, you know, I always tell people that, you know, whatever you want to do, write it down and make it plain, you know. Write down your vision, write down what you want to do. But God may take that to another whole level than what you expect. And he will do that because I've seen God do it over and over again. So just because you put it on paper and you write it down don't mean that's where it's going to stay.
Yeah.
Or, how far it's going to go. Because God may take that and take it to another whole level. And you sitting there saying, wow, I was just thinking God is just going to do this, what I put on paper. But God saying, no, I'm going to take it to another whole level. And it's not just about that. But as long as you believe, and as long as you have that faith, and as long as you're following the commandments of God, and as long as you're doing what thus saith the Lord, he will exceedingly bless you.
Yeah, yeah.
He will.
And here's what I want to say to those who are listening and watching. It's all about faithfulness.
Yes.
And it's not even about faithfulness tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own self.
Right.
Each day has enough trouble of its own. All God wants you to do is trust him today.
That's it.
Today. Just do what you got to do today. Spend time with him. Rest. Work. You can't do 1,000 things in a day.
No.
You know, just do the assignments and fulfill the responsibilities God's given you today. He loves you. He won't give you more than you can bear. And you know, I think when we look at Denzel's life, you know, that's what we've seen. We've seen a man who's just been faithful to, and when he hasn't, God has disciplined him, and he talked about that in the video slightly. He said how the Lord came after him, even when he wasn't pursuing God. And God will do that. He'll come after you. He'll spank that booty. He will shake you up because he loves you, man, like a father. And if you had a messed up father, well, God is that righteous father.
Right.
And so, you know, we just want to end it by encouraging you today to consider the life of Denzel Washington, to consider the thousands and millions of Christians who've lived throughout the world, from Egypt to Africa to which is in Africa, Middle East, China, Russia, and to consider Jesus Christ and his life and what he did for you. He loves you. He died for your sins. He wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He wants to come and live inside of you through the Holy Spirit. And God wants to guide you daily. But you got to let him. You can't fight. You know, you got to surrender. And all the social media in the world, all the schooling in the world, all the work in the world, all the money in the world, nothing's going to satisfy you. All the sex in the world, nothing's going to satisfy you. You know, Jesus Christ is real. And He wants to live in you. He wants to empower you. He wants to speak to you personally, and he does. If you'll just open up your hearts to him. Pastor Reese, anything you want to close with?
I just want to say this. If you heard me mention earlier about having that dangling spirit, where you feel like, you know, I understand what y'all saying about faith. I understand what y'all saying about belief, but it seemed like God ain't doing it for me. I have faith, but do you really have faith? Do you really have belief and trust that God is going to do it for you? Or are you under your breath murmuring and complaining? So get out of that mumbling and complaining and doubting, and just let the Spirit of God dwell within you. Let that faith come forward in you, and you'll see what God can do in your life.
What he can do. Amen.
Watch and see. God, he said, let me fight your battles. Let me work on your situation. But if we keep getting in the way of it, God can't do anything unless we allow him to work it out for us. So stop trying to do it yourself. Let God do it for you.
Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we just ask for your blessing to be upon those who are listening right now.
Thank you,
Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God.
Yes.
That you would comfort, you would provide. And if anyone right now is hurting,
yes, Jesus,
or in a state of confusion, God, or they're just in a place where they're just struggling, that you would just meet them right now,
yes,
in their bathroom,
Jesus,
in their car, whatever they're going through, Lord. You would remind them that you love them, and that you have a plan for them, and
yes,
that
God,
and that your blood cleanses them,
yes,
and protects them from the evil one.
Thank you, Jesus.
We stand against all the principalities and powers. May the Lord rebuke you, Satan.
Yes, Jesus.
You have no power and authority over the sons and the daughters of God.
Hallelujah.
And right now I just command a raising up of your spirit in Jesus' name.
Jesus, man.
For spirits to be lifted up. The inner being of those who are listening right now to be encouraged and to be built up.
Thank you, Jesus.
To be built up in the most holy faith. For perspectives to change right now.
Yes,
for there be
God,
transformation. I pray for physical healing right now. If you're listening or watching this broadcast, and maybe you're going through some sickness,
yes, Jesus,
pain, I just command that sickness right now. The sound of the hearing of this voice, word of God, may the Spirit of God, may the angels of God touch your body. And
right
sickness
now,
and disease be released right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In the name of
and
Jesus.
Right now we speak against a mental state of confusion.
Yes, Jesus.
God is not the author of confusion.
Yes, God.
But he's the author of peace.
Thank you.
Shalom. And right now, in the authority of Jesus Christ.
Yes, God.
And the Lamb of God, we speak complete peace of mind, soundness of mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
Spirit of God, baptize.
Baptize, God.
Immerse. Fill the body of Christ. And right now, those who are not Christians, who aren't born again.
Yes, God.
I just, right now, just challenge you to repent. As my brother Reese said, to repent. That means to turn from your selfish, wicked ways. And to surrender. To just surrender yourself to Jesus Christ and to find a local church where you can learn the Bible.
Thank you, Jesus.
You can learn how to pray. You can develop a new Christian friendships where it's all about God and having fun and living life, being productive and being a blessing until the day you die. And I pray for those right now who are lonely, who are considering maybe going on dating apps or compromising with someone who's not a Christian.
Yes, God.
Just because you're lonely, physically lonely, you're emotionally lonely, I just right now pray for a spirit of comfort to come over you.
Yes, Jesus.
And for you to find fellowship and intimacy, not only with the Holy Spirit, but with a brother or sister in Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
And for God to bring that compatible, spiritually equal, yoked partner into your life. in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
All right. God bless you. God bless you.